All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's read verse 8 again. That's the last verse we read this morning. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward, which I dealt with earlier, according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. The ministers of God are laborers. They're not lazy men, they're laborers. Their work is in the study. Their work is in the pulpit. Their work is in meditation and prayer and faithfully preparing and preaching and teaching the Word of God. I know it's a work for which no man is sufficient, but as Paul said, our sufficiency is Christ. And he will give grace and strength for those who are committed to this work. Over in 1 Timothy 5, the Apostle Paul said in verse 17, let the elders that rule well. That rule is not a dominion. That rule is a teaching ministry, who teach men the Word of God. Let those elders that sufficiently perform the task God's given them be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the Word and in the doctrine. They labor. It's a labor. If it's done right, it's a labor. And we labor as under shepherds, under the chief shepherd. And our work is never in vain. The Lord always blesses that faithful ministry of his Word. In 2 Corinthians 5, I'd like for you to turn here and look at this scripture. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul is talking about the ministers of the gospel. And he says in verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us, Paul said, the Lord put me in the ministry. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us this word of reconciliation, this message, this gospel. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, we minister to you, we implore you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And when the apostles in chapter 6 of Acts, when the apostles' ministry increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Acts chapter 6. Look over there at verse 1. In those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, more hearers came, more people came to hear the gospel. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration, the business of taking care of the widows and orphans and needy and etc., etc. And then the 12, these ministers of the gospel, called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, it's not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. This is when they appointed the first deacons. So brethren, verse 3, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business of the needy and the widows and the orphans and the business, so forth. And the preachers, verse 4, will give themselves continually to what their ministry is, to prayer and the ministry of the word. So it's a labor. If it's done right, it's a labor. That's what he says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 3. We're laborers. We're laborers. But we're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's tillage. You're God's farm. You're God's people. And then he compares the church to a building. He said, you're God's building. Now let me show you this over in Isaiah 61. This an analogy that Paul uses here of the farm, of a garden that Paul plants and Apollos waters and someone else does something else, but it's God's garden. And God gives the increase. That's what we looked at this morning. Here in Isaiah 61, verse 3, listen. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We're the planting of the Lord. It's God's garden. And that's what he's saying here in verse 9. We're laborers together with God. But just not my church, or my garden, or my vineyard, or my building. This is God's garden. We're the planting of the Lord. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, Christ said, shall be rooted up. Every plant that the preacher's planted or the bishop's planted or somebody else has planted shall be rooted up. You're God's planting. You're trees of righteousness. You're his garden. You're his garden. You're his temple. Christ said, I'll build my church. I'll build my church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So verse 9, we're laborers together with God. But you're God's husbandry. You're God's garden. You're God's building. Now, verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me. The apostle attributes all of his gifts and his usefulness as a builder, as a planter, as one who sows the seed. He attributes it all to the grace of God. I've labored more abundantly than they all. I've given my life and spent my time totally in the ministry, more than anyone else, he said. Yet not I, but the grace of God in me. That's what he's saying here. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder. Calls himself a wise master builder. And that he is. Because the foundation he laid is Christ Jesus. He's a wise master builder. Our Lord said, I want you to turn to this in Luke chapter 7. Listen to this. Paul evidently got this in mind when he wrote this in Luke. Is it chapter 7? Let's look at Matthew 7. Paul has this in mind when he wrote this. In Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man. A wise man built his house on the rock. I turn to Luke 6. This is where I want you to go, Luke 6. Luke 6, verse 47. Luke 6, 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a wise man. Matthew called him a wise man. Which built a house, and he digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. This was laborious work. This was time-taking, requiring work. Dig deep, search, study, dig deep, lay that foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, couldn't shake it. Why? That wise master builder laid that foundation right here. He's talking about, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. What is that foundation? Well, Ephesians 2. I've got you running through the word, but it's the word I'm trying to preach. Ephesians 2, verse 18. Listen. Ephesians 2, 18. This is Paul speaking about this foundation. For through him, through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to God, the Father, Jew and Gentile. Now therefore, you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and you're built upon the foundation of the apostles. That's who Paul is, an apostle. And the prophets, Moses, Isaiah, all those Old Testament. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, and what did he say? You're God's garden, you're God's building. As a wise master builder, I've dig deep, I've laid a foundation. And that foundation is the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, fitly framed together. See, the cornerstone is the strength of the building. And the cornerstone determines the shape of the building and the beauty of the building. And Christ is that cornerstone. The whole building fitly framed together and groweth upon him, a holy temple to the Lord, in whom you also are builded together by a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, as a wise master builder, sent of God, he said, I've laid a good foundation. According to the grace given to me, I've laid a foundation. Don't take any credit for it. But God gave me the grace. Now watch what he exhorts us. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Every preacher, every elder, everyone in the kingdom of God, let him be careful how he builds thereon. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay. There is no other foundation. Other foundation no man can lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Who laid that foundation? Well, Paul just came along preaching that foundation, but God laid it. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. God laid that foundation, Christ Jesus. And other foundation no man can lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. In Isaiah 28, Paul or Isaiah rebukes the unbelieving Jews wrapped up in their doctrine of works and their doctrine of ceremonies and sacrifices. Verse 14 of Isaiah 28, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord now, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. You have said, we've made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. We're not afraid of hell or death. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it won't come unto us. We've made lies our refuge. We've got a refuge. We've got a hiding place, but God says it's a refuge of lies and it's a refuge of falsehood under which you hid yourself. Verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation. Here's the foundation. As a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and here it is, back in the writings of Isaiah. I've laid for a foundation a stone, a rock in a weary land. A rock upon this rock. Christ said, I'll build my church. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's a tried stone. This stone tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Tried by Satan. Tried by the law. Tried by men. Tried by God. yet perfectly obeyed. A precious cornerstone. That's what we've been reading about. The strength of the building, the design of the building, the shape of the building, the beauty of the building depends on the cornerstone. And it's a precious cornerstone. Precious to the Father. Precious to the Old Testament believers. Precious to the angels. Precious to all who know Him. Precious cornerstone. A sure foundation that cannot fail. He that hath begun a good work in you shall finish it. He doesn't lay a foundation in vain. It's a sure foundation. And he that believes will not make haste. He'll not be ashamed. He'll never be confounded. He'll never be deserted. So take heed how you build our own. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. There is no true church except that church built on Christ. And that's just so. We can, out of kindness and generosity, try to include as many folks as we can, but there's no church. Christ said, it's my church. He's the head of the church. The church is his body. It's called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no true church except that church which is built on this foundation, Christ Jesus. There's no true gospel except that gospel of Christ Jesus. There's no other gospel. Paul said, if he comes preaching another gospel, I don't care if it's an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. There's no kingdom except the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what God calls the kingdom of heaven. He calls it the kingdom of his Son, the kingdom of his dear Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He that believeth on Christ hath everlasting life, shall never come into condemnation. He that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him. That's other foundation can no man lay. There's no true Christian except that man who believes in Christ. Narrow? Well, it's a narrow way. Let me read you Galatians 4. Listen to this. Can it be any plainer than this? Listen, Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons, sons of God. And because your sons, because Christ hath redeemed us, and we have in him received the adoption of sons. And because we're sons, God sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, whereby we cry, Father. The Jew says, we have one God, one Father. Christ said, if God were your Father, you'd love me. You have your father, the devil. Ooh. Your sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your heart, and you can cry, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, you're an heir of God through Christ. There's no other way. There's nothing else to preach. You can't wiggle around that. You can't go around it. Barnard said, when you meet the gospel in the middle of the road, you've got to bow to it or run away from it. You can't tunnel under it, go over it or around it. You've got to meet the gospel head on and believe it or deny it. It's the gospel of his Son. That's just so. Other foundation can no man lay. Paul said, I've digged deep as a wise master built. I've laid the foundation, which is Christ Jesus, and there's no other foundation. Now, verse 12, if any man build on this foundation, now here, the apostles and prophets laid the foundation, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now preachers, missionaries, pastors, witnesses, Christian workers, churches, denominations, they go forth into this world preaching, teaching, witnessing. riding their bicycles, carrying their books, knocking on the doors, building churches, building followers, building assemblies, building denominations, building, 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 gathering, 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 all these different buildings. Not, I'm talking about spiritual buildings, professions, denominations, sects, cults, all these things. We got one here. We have preached 50 years. We've met together here, Sunday, Wednesday, special meetings, Bible conferences. We've taught, written books. We have tapes and TV and conferences and all these things. Many people have come from everywhere and have gathered and have listened and have received what's been preached from this pulpit. We've been building. Paul said the apostles and the prophets laid the foundation, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. You take heed how you build thereon. We build on the witness, the message, the gospel of Christ. Many people have come. Some of our people, God's called them away. Their children are here and their grandchildren. What have we built? We know who the foundation is, but what is the structure? Well, he named some things. He said, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone. The other three, wood, hay, and stubble. That's the building materials. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. But I note three things about these six things, divided three each. Gold, silver, and precious stone, that's valuable. That's valuable. That's genuine, we used to say. That's real. That's of true value. It's called precious. Precious stone. Precious gold. They cost the precious price. Blood of the Son of God. To you that believe, he's precious. And you're precious to him, precious in the sight of the Lord, death of his saints. Gold, silver, precious stone. That's valuable. But wood, hay, and stubble is worthless. I'm not in the market for any hay or stubble. And neither is God. One valuable. What are you building? Valuable, genuine, real, the real article. Precious. Or wood, hay, and stubble. Secondly, one is lasting. The gold, silver, and precious stone will endure the fire. It'll endure anything. Fire only purifies gold and silver and precious stones. Never loses its value. The older it gets, the more valuable it is. Never loses its value. Whatever it's worth now will be worth more later. But the other, the longer it lasts, the less it's worth. Wood, hay, and stubble. It passes away, it rots, it smells. It's only fit to be burned. Gold, silver, and precious stone. Tell you something else about them. All three of God made. No human being can make gold. He can discover it where God put it. Silver, can't make it. Discover it where God put it and mine it. Precious stones, the things they're making to look like precious stones aren't precious. They're counterfeit. God makes all of these. But the other, that the wood, hay, and stubble, that's the product of the flesh. That's the product of man. That's the product of manipulation or man's efforts. So what are we building? On this foundation, Christ Jesus. Is it gold and silver and precious stone, valuable to God, sons of God, lasting, persevering, continuing in the faith, made by God. I know there'll always be tears, but I'm talking about the general state of the building. that's built on Christ Jesus by faithful gospel preacher is gold, silver, and precious stone. The others, wood, hay, and stubble. And then he says in verse 13, that's going to be discovered in time. That's going to be discovered. The reality of profession will be revealed. The reality of our state will be known. The reality of our relationship with God is going to be manifested. Every man's work, every preacher's ministry, every church's ministry, not just the preacher's ministry, it's the folks that are with him. But every man's work is going to be manifest. For the day shall declare it. Now, a lot of people give that wholly to the judgment. Like Malachi said over here in Malachi 3:17. A lot of people give that just to the judgment. And that'll be the time when everything will be revealed. And nothing secret will not be revealed. Nothing done in the corner will not be broadcast from the housetop. In Malachi 3:17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, my special treasure, in that day I'll spare them as a man spares his own son. Yes, sir. They're my jewels. When I make up my jewels, that's something we don't do. He does that. We're his husbandry, we're his tillage, we're his building, we're his church, we're his kingdom, and he makes up his jewels, gold, silver, and precious stone. And the day's going to declare it. For he says in verse 13, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And this seems to indicate the last day. Most people agree. The day when our Lord shall return, day of judgment. But I don't believe that's always the case. I do not. I believe that we shall, if we live long enough, we're going to have proof of what our ministry has been, of what sort it is, whether it's gold, silver, precious stone, or whether it's wood, hay, and stone, of what sort it is. Most preachers don't stay long enough where they go to find out what sort it is. But if you hang around long enough, live long enough, it'll be revealed of what you've been building on that foundation. Because it says in verse 14, 15, listen, this seems to bear this out. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, on that foundation, he'll receive a reward. I talked about that this morning. And that's not talking about a heavenly reward. That's talking about a reward right back there in verse 8, according to his labor, the love of his people, fellowship of believers, the praise of his God. God is pleased. Also, the satisfaction, just the satisfaction of being able to say what Paul said in your reading tonight. He said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole gospel. He said to those people, he said, I kept back nothing from you. He said, my hands are free from the blood of everybody. Boy, that's satisfaction now. That's a reward, see? So that's a reward, isn't it? Reward of the love of the people, the praise of God, and the satisfaction that you've told them the truth. You've coveted no man's silver or gold. You haven't coveted anything anybody has. You preached the gospel without fear or favor boldly. That's a reward. That's a reward. And that's all right here. Right here. I've experienced the very things I'm talking about. I'm talking out of the heart, not just off the top of my head. I've fought a good fight, Paul said. I've kept the faith. And that crown of rejoicing will be to see you in the presence of the Lord someday. That's right. But if any man's work be burned, wood, hay, and stubble is going to finally be burned now. It's going to rot. It's going to come to naught. You can't sleep in a house made out of wood, hay, and stubble. Not very long. Not when the fire falls, and not when the wind blows, and not when the floods come. It's not going to last. And that fella, he's compromised the gospel. for covetousness, for intellectualism, for the friendship of the world, for some reason. And he's going to see his work perish, and he's going to suffer loss. He's going to be like a man watches his house burn down. He hasn't got a thing. He's standing there in his underwear, and his house is burned down. Everything he saved and collected and put together is burned down, and here he stands. Now, he's saved, so as by fire. He's out there in the away from the flame, but everything he's done is gone. Gone. Now that doesn't sound like a judgment to me, does it to you? It doesn't sound like that last. It sounds like right here. I've seen this happen to preachers. I've seen this happen to grace preachers. I've seen this happen to men I believe are saved. It's gone. What they were. Might be a little gold here, a little there, a precious stone here or there, but the rest of it's gone. And see, these trials, it's not just judgment, it's the trials of time. Time tries things. Time tries all of God's servants, but his jewels endure to the end. They endure to the end. They don't quit. That's the reason I believe you're gold, silver, and precious stone. You've been around, you shine. You've been around long enough to shine. You've been through the time test. There's the time test, and there's the years test. And there's the discouragement test. And there's the prosperity test. Prosperity is greater danger to spirituality than sickness. Or death. That's right. That's what Solomon said. Don't give me too much, Lord. I'll forget you. But don't make me too poor. I might steal. You don't know me, you know. David said, I would have fainted if I hadn't believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. There's been times, David said, when I would have quit. Just flat quit. And thought a lot about it. But he said, I knew God would be victorious. So I waited on him. Still wait. There's a test of sorrow. Old Job sitting there scratching his boils and weeping tears. And his wife said, just curse God and die. He said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. And he did. And you know the outcome, don't you? I tell you, it'll be tried. Tried by fire, and I'm talking about fire. Tried by compromise. Another voice, another shepherd. Now they won't hear. They won't hear another voice. They won't hear another shepherd. They won't follow another shepherd. But those voices are out there. And they'd deceive their very elect if they could, if it's possible. They'd deceive you. And they'll try it. They'll keep knocking on your door. Trial of sickness. Some of you been down, some didn't even know your name, it got so bad. Been wired up. I've seen some of you wired up, you look like a zombie, you know, or a robot or something. But you stayed faithful. Old age tries people, and then death. And God's people endure to the end. That's right. You know what you are, verse 16, look at this. You're the temple of God. You're the temple of God built on the foundation, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's talking about the church. That Paul says, I'm the wise master builder, apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And God sent his preachers throughout the days, and they preached his gospel, and he built it. He got these living stones. Living stones. They put them together, and he dwells in that church, his bride. That's right. That's you, believers. Living stones. Now, if any man defile this temple, how do they defile it? Well, I'll tell you how they defile it. They defile it through covetousness, compromise, philosophy, ambition, wisdom of this world, false doctrine. They divide, they destroy, they corrupt the minds of God's people from the simplicity of Christ. If any man, this gold, silver, precious stones, these living stones, they're God's temple. He's brought them together. Now, if anybody come along and divide and defile and trouble and corrupt that church, God will destroy him. That's why God will just try to destroy him, because the temple of God's holy to him, which temple you are. That's exactly what that's saying. You're the temple of God. That's what we build on that foundation, the temple of God. He builds it. He hews out the stones and brings them in. But you want to be careful now not to defile that temple of God through love of money or covetousness or philosophy. And here in verse 18, Paul puts his finger on the problem. Let no man deceive you. If any man among you, preacher, elder, pastor, missionary, whoever comes along in the name of God, he seems to be wise in this world. Fella comes along and he seems to be wise in this world. He's educated. He thinks himself to be wise. Well, if he wants to be wise, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Let him become a fool. Let him become convinced of his sin and folly. Let him embrace the gospel of the crucified Lord, which is foolishness to the world and despised of men. Let him deny his worldly wisdom, his prestige and place and position. Let him deny his righteous self, confess his ignorance, confess his weakness, rely on the Spirit of God, that he may be wise. That he may be wise. See, that's what happens. That's what defiles the church of God, the temple of God, the people of God, is philosophy, deceit, the wisdom of this world. You got to battle always between the wisdom of the world and the Word of God. That's always a conflict, the wisdom of the world and the Word of God. That's a conflict in our country right now, in religion, the wisdom of the world or the Word of God. If any man, let no man deceive himself, if he seems to be wise and educated, high and mighty, know-it-all, brilliant, eloquent, in this world, there's just one way God will use him, and that's him to become a fool. Admit it, confess it, emptied, stripped, just like the preacher graduated from the third grade and holds his hands up to heaven for manna and help and power to preach. Let him become a fool, and then he'll be wise. Because the wisdom of this world, verse 19, is foolishness with God. Now, it's written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And what he's saying there, that's a quote. And what he's saying there is that these men of so-called wisdom of the world, they are destroyed in the snares and traps they prepare for others. He takes them in their own craftiness. You see, they're crafty and sly and subtle, and they devise means to deceive people. And God takes them in their own traps and snares that they prepared for another. God destroys them in it. That's it, destroy them, the very thing. That's what he takes them in their own craftiness. And again, says the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. One writer said, there are men in this day of such great wisdom and great capacity for a knowledge of the things of the world and cleverness, that their schemes and their reasoning and their devices are not known by men, ordinary men. They're known by God. And God knows that the their so-called wisdom is really vanity. Sometimes we're awed by these so-called mental giants, but don't be awed. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise. They're vanity. They're dangerous. That's right. Just avoid them. Get back to the simplicity of Christ. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the mighty man glory in his might, or the rich man glory in his riches. For all things are yours. Don't exalt and magnify the flesh. All things are yours. And this is the way this chapter started. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Cephas? But ministers, servants of God by whom you believe. So, don't glory in men. Because whether it's Paul, the greatest missionary apostle who ever lived, or Apollos, the eloquent genius taught by Aquila and Priscilla, or Cephas, Peter, the gruff fisherman whom the Lord Jesus loved, Peter the apostle, or the world, we're fascinated by this world, and all they're building their Tower of Babel now, going to conquer the space. That's what they tried to do back in Genesis, built the Tower of Babel. We're going on up to heaven. Don't be fascinated. It's yours. Or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, everything's for your sake, for your salvation, for your redemption. It's all yours. God's designed everything that's going on for the redemption of his church, for the building of that temple, and for the growing of those trees of righteousness. And you belong to Christ, and he belongs to God. All right, we've had a good day. This is a good study. It's profitable to me, and I hope to you.